Really? We're dealing with George Pickens again? After last year when he quit on a play in Indy on a block, didn't make the block? And instead of apologizing for it, came out and said, yeah, I didn't want to get hurt. Did you see that other play with that other guy last year where he got blocked, where he got, you know, hit in the back of the legs? I didn't want to risk myself. We're talking about George Pickens again. What are we doing here? This is a week. And how are you, City Limits? It's wonderful to see you once again. The hair...
Talking about the same thing, Joe.
Listen, people think that we probably planned that. We did not. In fact, I haven't even seen you except passing you in the hallway to go get a Butterfinger and I think this is banana bread to go with my coffee. I literally haven't seen you. We had a brief talk, but we certainly didn't plan anything like that. You're obviously on your A game. You look great. You're doing well?
I'm doing great. That's just the chemistry that we have, Joe.
Yes. Great minds think alike, although I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm thinking about Pickens. Listen, this may be the day that Mike Tomlin announces a new quarterback. And that's not the story of the day. How incredible is that? And I don't know that Tomlin will. We're obviously going to talk about that. This could be conceivably the end of Justin Fields for the time being. I don't think it will be. But all eyes and ears are going to be on Mike Tomlin at noon today, and we're going to be carrying that live to see what the quarterback situation is. What is he going to say about the most scrutinized position in all of Pittsburgh sports? And that's not the story. Why is that not the story? Because of George Pickens. Because of what happened the other night. Because of all the video that has surfaced of George Pickens jogging on routes against the Cowboys, because of his head coach benching him and then twisting himself into a word pretzel, trying to explain that he didn't really bench him. He was just looking to maximize his reps by putting him on the sidelines or something like that. We have ex-Steelers ripping George Pickens. Max Starks on the Steelers radio network, no less, absolutely tore into this guy. I don't know if you saw that, Limits, but he did. You have video of players needing to babysit George Pickens on the sidelines again, just like Cam Hayward a couple years ago in Atlanta. People have to take their time away from whatever they're doing during a National Football League game to go babysit George, who has the F word painted on his face on a nationally televised game. You have a guy desperately craving attention, pouting, demanding things, doing all of this. And it's taken over the narrative on the Steelers. It's George Pickens again. I'm going to get to what Stark said. We're going to get to what the video depicted. All of this, but it's just unbelievable to me that we're talking about this, and it's a bigger story than it normally would be because of everything happening with receivers around the league, with Devontae Adams, with the Steelers desperately needing a number two, and now we have Diana Rossini and Jason Lockenfor, two insiders, wondering if Pickens himself might be traded. 412-928-9370. You want to weigh in on the latest George Pickens saga. You have Pickens refusing to talk about it, according to Brooke Pryor, being over at the facility yesterday but, and within sight of reporters, but not coming out to talk to them. Yes?
Joe, huge NFL news just came
out.
Adam Schefter just reported, according to ESPN sources, the Jets have fired Robert Saleh.
Wow.
Today.
Wow.
Right now, in the middle of a game week.
I wonder if Aaron Rodgers had anything to do with that. You think?
They came across the pond and said, goodbye, Mr.
Wow.
Robert. Maybe you should have stayed for a little vacation in London.
That is incredible.
That's insane. What, we're 5 weeks in and we're already firing coaches?
So this, yeah.
And it's not like the Jets, if they beat Buffalo in a week, they're in first place in the division.
And I believe they're on the Steelers schedule fairly soon. Yes.
Very soon. Primetime game.
And this also, somehow, doesn't everything gets back to the George Pickens saga because the Jets are a team that wants Devontae Adams really badly, apparently.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers wants him to be the coach, too.
So do the Steelers, who are said to be aggressively pursuing him as the Steelers' receivers turn. That's the name of this saga. It's always somehow every story in the league comes back to this.
So if Robert Saleh is fired, does that mean that the interim Jets head coach is Nathaniel Hackett?
Oh, my God. Nathaniel can't hack it. I don't know that I've ever seen one athlete seize an organization like this, like Aaron Rodgers has. I mean, I think back to Magic Johnson early in his career in L.A., when it was said that he was, you know, firing coaches and things like that. This guy's running the organization. Does it appear that way to you?
100%.
Maybe he'll trade. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will actually do the negotiating and execute the trade for Devontae Adams.
It seems like him and LeBron have the most power of any players in all of sports, more so than Mahomes, especially.
I mean, this is remarkable. So he's done. But back to Pickens. That's the story of the day still. These three things are true. These three things are true with the Steelers and receivers. One, they identify receiving talent as good or probably better than anybody in the NFL in the draft. They do. They identify it better. That's just true. Two, they usually develop it quickly. These guys usually make their mark very early in their careers. Pickens had an 800-yard rookie season. Martavis Bryant comes to mind. Halfway through, not even, I think, his rookie year, he was suddenly inserted into the lineup and everything changed. He was great. Chase Claypool was fabulous as a rookie. Antonio Brown made a big play in the playoffs. It didn't take him too long, you know, to become really good. So that's true, too, and inarguable. The talent that they identify often makes a mark very early in the league. So far, so good, right? But here's the third thing that's true and inarguable. Is that these receivers who come here tend to go south at some point. And more importantly, and the real point is, once they start to go south, they're not salvageable. They just keep going all the way out of town. And that's on the head coach. It's on the receivers, yes. But when it becomes a pattern to the point it is, it's also on the head coach. I thought that Mike Tomlin had the reputation of players loving him and respecting him and keeping these guys under control and all of that. Well, what about the receiver position? Martavis Bryant, all he had to do was beg for a trade on social media. Say he's not getting the ball enough. Eventually, he's gone out of town. Once it went south, it never stopped. He was gone. Chase Claypool. I guess the point of demarcation there was requesting music and practice limits. And if you can find the Tomlin clip, and I should have told you this earlier, of Tomlin saying, I'll decide how the practices go. He needs to catch footballs. I think that's an appropriate division of labor. If you could find that, I'll give you even higher marks than the Brian Kelly clip. Deontay Johnson, we know that story. Once it went south, you finish the sentence, right? Antonio Brown, I don't even have to tell you. Once it went south, you know, the next thing you know, he had frozen feet in Oakland or Vegas, or wherever the hell they were at that point. Frozen feet guy. Am I forgetting anybody? Deontay, Chase Claypool, Antonio Brown, Martavis. Oh, yeah. George Pickens. So that's the only important question right now. I give the Steelers look right about Pickens to this point in his career, even with all the crap. They do. He was the 11th receiver taken. The only guys who have been better than him have been Olave and Garrett Wilson. He's like in the top five in all the important categories, pretty much, or thereabouts. I think he's fourth in yards, third in catches, that type of thing. They got him as the 11th receiver, the 52nd pick. So to this point, he's helped them win games. They look right to this point, but that's not the question. That's not the question anymore. Were the Steelers right about George? Was it a good pick? Is he a talented kid? Has he been productive? All of that. Yes. The only important point right now is it has started to go south again. And is he retrievable? Because we've now reached the point where you're going to have to pay him. Jerry Dulac had a story from training camp saying the Steelers absolutely intend to pay George Pickens, even if they get Ayuk. That was the story at the time. Love Pickens, love his production, going to pay him no matter what. That was the story. So the only important thing about George Pickens right now is he salvageable? Or, like with all these other guys, has he started to move in the wrong direction? And how do you stop that and reverse it if you're Mike Tomlin? Not a real good track record for Tomlin there. So then you start to wonder when people like Rossini and Lockenfora are reporting that Pickens could actually be traded. Yeah, the Steelers are aggressively looking at receivers, but they might consider trading him too. I believe it. Because I guess if you wanted to add a fourth truth to this story, is that the Steelers have not been hesitant that once these guys are deemed irretrievable, they get them out of town. So I've reached the point where I wouldn't be shocked if Pickens were traded. I'm not predicting it by any means. But based on history and based on these reports, you may think these reports come out of nowhere. And in some cases, you know, on random internet sites, they might. Rossini, to me, has a very good track record. I'm sure you can go and pick out things she's gotten wrong. Yes, she's not saying that Pickens is going to be traded, but suddenly his name is surfacing in these reports. So where are we in the end? I got asked in a mailbag today. Do you have that Tomlin clip, by the way?
Well, I'm sorry, based on the way TJ played today, is he going to practice ever again?
Yes, and there won't be music either.
Love the laugh from the press conference.
And there won't be music either. All right. So what do you do with Pickens? What do you do? I want your thoughts on this. Like, there's probably blame to go around here. Pickens needs to get the ball. He needs to be force-fed the ball. But you can't be quitting. I mean, the video is out there. Go to Warren Sharp. He's jogging on pass routes. One of them, a really important one, where it could have been, what, 20 or 30-yard gain, and he's just jogging to the sidelines. So, like, what is happening? He's quitting again on the Steelers, like last year in the middle of a game? I mean, it's sort of irrefutable if you look at the video. And Tomlin benched him. And there's a lot of history here with George Pickens that we need to look at. First, I want to tell you what Max Starks said, and I commend Max Starks for speaking his mind. And he was always a guy that would speak his mind, just be honest with you, and a very, I think, thoughtful, observant guy, and wasn't afraid to do it on the Steelers radio network after the game. This is what Stark said, part of it. "I need wide receivers to stop thinking they're bigger than the game itself," Stark said. "We all know who that wide receiver is. We've talked about him over the last couple of years. He needs to grow up. And he needs to show me on the field. You say you're always open. Show me what you get when you're open. Do something about it. Don't sit there and pout about it. Go block somebody downfield and maybe you get to play action on the next one." So you out there may think it's the Steelers' fault. You might think people are picking on Pickens. You like that horse? Okay, so forget about what I'm saying. Go straight to Max Starks. On the Steelers radio network, I might add. Did I add that already? Absolutely shredding this guy. Intimating that he thinks he's bigger than the game and saying he needs to basically try harder. There was more to those Starks quotes. 412-928-9370. In other words, last year did nothing to turn George Pickens' attitude around. When the going gets rough, Pickens quits. That's the story. Is it going to get better? It might, but recent history doesn't tell us it will. Recent history tells us it'll get worse. And last year, when he quit in the Colts game and refused to throw a block down by the goal line in a desperately needed situation and then explained it away without apologizing, really, he had a great game the next week, and a lot of fans responded, "See, I told you about Pickens." No, you didn't. He may have a great game in Vegas. That doesn't undo what's happening here. You know why it doesn't undo it? Because it'll resurface again, in all likelihood. It already has. There's video evidence and a prominent ex-Steeler player ripping him for his lack of effort again. The coach benched him, whether you want to believe it or not. He played less than Van Jefferson. Just wanted to minimize his reps in an effort to get more productivity, Tomlin said. It's the nicest answer for a benching I've ever seen in my life. But let's go back to the draft, shall we? Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. The main event today is Mike Tomlin's news conference at noon, which will bring you Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Going into the draft, Bruce Feldman of The Athletic talked to a bunch of scouts, receiver coaches around the league. He had the biggest boom or bust candidates going into that draft, and George Pickens was prominent on that list. He had one scout, NFL, saying there's a lot of upside, but he can't get out of his own way. He's been enabled his whole life. He had one NFL receiver coach tell him, "You love Pickens' game, but there's some issues. Do you want to work with him? I wouldn't touch him." That's what people are saying. That's why people passed on Pickens. You can talk about his injury in college all you want. He came back and actually played after that. People come back from injuries. That's very clear evidence that every team in the league certainly weren't willing to pick him late first, early second round, even though he was obvious. He's an early first round talent, even with the injury. So there were red flags everywhere around George Pickens, and the Steelers took him anyway. And like I said, based on talent and production so far, they look right. And Mike Tomlin has always been incredibly defensive about Pickens, starting right after they picked him, but then again after his rookie year, when it looked like the Steelers were really right about everything. Not only the talent and production, but this guy wasn't going to be a problem at all. There were going to be no problems with George Pickens. This was Tomlin after Pickens' rookie year. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Going back to the draft and how people talked about those red flags with Pickens.
I think he progressed in the ways that, you know, most of the rookies progress. I just think it's a natural thing when you're a young guy and you get put into a professional environment around grown men that you grow and grow at a rapid rate. I saw that from him. I thought the consistency of his play and his productivity kind of represented that growth. But it's a really natural thing. I sometimes get resistant when I get asked about his maturity and character-related things because oftentimes I believe he got mischaracterized pre-draft. And so that's why I'm combative at times and defensive when it comes to him. He's a quality young man. He is. He's professional. He's been really consistent in his work throughout. He loves football. He likes to work. We haven't seen a lot of things that we hear rumors regarding in terms of him, and that's why we're, you know, that's why we defend him.
Mike, I asked that because.
Wow. That one might go down with Tomlin and Kevin Colbert sitting in the draft room saying that Jarvis Jones was an easy evaluation. That one may go down in history. I believe he got mischaracterized pre-draft. It doesn't look that way. He's professional. Too often it hasn't looked that way. Sure didn't during the game when he was jogging on routes the other night and then got benched and then had to have attention paid to him by the likes of Broderick Jones Is that who you want babysitting, by the way, George Pickens?
Probably not.
Russell Wilson, everything else. It was a big, you know, big act on the sidelines again, just like in Atlanta a few years ago when Cam Hayward had to take time during a game to go tend to George because George was upset he wasn't getting the ball, even though he hadn't really done anything in the NFL yet. Consistent in his work throughout, Tomlin said. Go watch the tape from the other night. Haven't seen a lot of things that we heard rumors of, Tomlin said. Well, now you have. Now you have. And if I were Tomlin, I guess there would have to be, there's at once probably reason to gloat over getting a receiver that nobody else dared take and you did, and he's put up big numbers. He has. But there's also reason at this point to be embarrassed that you so passionately defended everything about him, including his work ethic, when we now have tapes from various games where he's jogging around. Or not blocking, or things like that. You may remember Peter King coming on this show after both Deontay Johnson. I lose track, I'm sorry, of Steelers receivers quitting in games. So let me try to categorize this. There was Deontay quitting against the Bengals last year, and then there was Pickens quitting against the Colts, quitting on Tomlin. We should somehow categorize these. I don't know. Can we start a file alphabetically, Steelers receivers who have quit on Tomlin limits? Could we do that, please?
Would you throw Juju into that category at all?
No. No. You won't find one piece of tape where Juju ever stopped working or playing hard during a game. No, I wouldn't at all.
Would you throw, what other previous receiver would you throw in there the last couple of years?
I mean, Deontay wanted out. That's how I started the show. This guy. Obviously, Antonio Brown, Chase Claypool, Martavis Bryant, the list goes on. But the point I wanted to get to there is Peter King on with Ron and I late last season talking about the hot topic then was would Tomlin return? And Peter King said a couple of things have to change, and he went into them. And one of the things he said was this. It bothers me that Deontay Johnson and George Pickens do not play all out on every snap. Somehow, some way, that must get fixed. Look like it got fixed to you? Have you seen the tape?
No.
Have you seen the tape from the game the other night?
I went back and watched it last night, yeah, after being at the game on Sunday. And it's just, because I've seen a lot of the clips that are isolated on just George Pickens.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
And he just seems unenthused on a lot of his routes and gives up on the play, which is also a tell to the defender that, okay, this guy's not getting the ball. I can also crash into the box or focus my attention elsewhere.
He got benched. So what do we do? You help me out. What do you do? Because even after saying all of this, believe me, I'm also including the fact that the Steelers still look right on Pickens to this point. He just had a very productive game at Indy. They still look right. But we all know it's a fact, not an opinion, that once things start to go south with Steeler receivers under Tomlin, there has been no salvaging them. They wind up on other teams. Do you want to sign George Pickens to a big deal? Because it has gone a little bit south here. Do you want to? Is he a worthwhile investment? Do you trust that this is going to be good? Can you win with guys like this? That's the question on the table here. It's the biggest story. It's bigger than the quarterbacks today. And intimately related to the quarterbacks, because who the hell are they going to throw to? It's Mike Tomlin's job to reel people back in, especially when they're your best offensive player. The coach won't rip him, but a former player will. I need receivers to stop thinking that they're bigger than the game itself, Stark said. We all know who that wide receiver is. We've talked about him over the last couple of years. He needs to grow up and he needs to show me on the field. So you want to call in here or text in here and rail away? Start with Max Starks then. I trust his opinion. I trust my eyes watching the games. I also know that Pickens is a really talented player who can help you win, even if he's causing problems. Look at AB. He's not AB. But you deal with this in pro sports, right? problematic great athletes still help you win. So I'm not saying this is an easy decision. What would you do? 412-928-9370. The other part of the equation is he doesn't get the ball enough. Some of the time, you know, I'd be force feeding him more. He has no touchdown catches this year. It looked in the preseason like, especially in the red zone, they were just going to, you know, lob it up to George and let him make plays. I'll tell you what, it's an intriguing situation right now, not just here, but around the league. As receiver drama heats up, George Pickens is a central character in that.
And we went from yesterday, you asking the question, would you extend George Pickens after this year, to now, would you trade George Pickens in a couple weeks before the deadline?
My answer to these questions is this. If I could find a really good trade for George Pickens and get a really good receiver back, like, would you trade him for Devontae Adams? Some people would say, you're out of your mind.
Straight up. Yes.
Adams is practically a decade older, but I would think about it because I don't know that I want to invest money in Pickens long term. So what does it matter that how old is he? 23, 24, somewhere
right
in there?
Right around that range, yes.
The point isn't that he's young and may have great years in front of him. The point is I got to decide if I want to throw $80 or $100 million at him because I know that's what he wants. That's what he thinks of himself, and he might be right in terms of talent. But this thing has started to go south. And I don't know that you bring him back. You're going to have a lot of headaches with this guy. If last year didn't change him, when the whole football world was shredding him for blatantly quitting on a play in a real game, in an important game for playoff implications against the Colts, and he explained it away by saying, I didn't want to get injured. Had no remorse, it sounded like, and then comes back this year, and now there's tape all over the place again of him quitting in the middle of a game. Is this going to get better? Does he mature? Does he grow up and become a productive wide receiver whose positives outweigh the negatives? I think that's still a legitimate question, by the way. Very legitimate. And I would certainly consider signing him. But I'm wavering like never before. How about you? 412-928-9370. And I would absolutely consider trading him if a really good receiver was coming back. And maybe you get something else in that deal because the team that acquires Pickens is going to have to pay him. So, you know, yeah, you may have to pay Devontae Adams, even though the next 2 years on his deal aren't guaranteed. I'm assuming if you would bring him in, you would have the parameters of a deal set up or have an intention to sign him, especially if you're giving up Pickens. But maybe the fact that he's a decade younger gets you a little something else in that deal. And then you know you're really good at drafting guys. So there's no real easy answer for me here, but man, this has gone sour again. And that is really, really disappointing. Social media lighting up with Robert Saleh getting fired by the Jets today. Of course, the meme, I guess it is. What's the difference between a meme and a GIF?
A meme is a still image with like a funny saying on it, and a GIF, it has like motion to it.
Then it's the GIF of the Hard Knocks guy going up to the Jets practice facility and his card doesn't work anymore. That one is really getting new life today.
Jamal Adams.
Yes. He can't get in. The card or the combination doesn't work, or his card or something at the door. You don't think, Limits, that this story would come full circle with Bill Belichick going to the Jets, do you? He famously, many years ago, the year 2000, I believe, was introduced or about to be as the Jets' new coach and handed them a piece of paper saying, I resign as coach. There was some acronym on there, but I'm done as coach before he ever so much as showed up at the facility for a practice. He was done at the news conference. He quit at the news conference. Could it come full circle all these years later? Would you hire Belichick? I would in a second.
Right now or next season?
Right now. You might as well make it a full circus here.
I would do it, yes. I don't think the Jets will.
We need the elephants. We have everything. We got the flying trapeze. We have the tall man. Bring in the elephants. Bring in Belichick.
Bring in all the giraffes.
Barnum and Bailey. Let's do it.
I'd do it, yeah. I mean, I don't think Belichick would want to jump into it at this point right now. Does he want to pull a Jeff Saturday with the Colts?
Man, I don't know about that.
Off the broadcast booth?
I don't think it's going to happen because Belichick is a guy who wants complete control, apparently. But would I make that call and say, listen, I don't know what your opportunities will be in the offseason, Bill, but we want you to be a football coach. Okay, we'll talk about personnel later. You have Aaron Rodgers, maybe a broken Aaron Rodgers, but you have Aaron Rodgers, tons of talent on offense, and a good defense. Would you come in and be the CEO of the football team? Not the franchise, the team on the field. I would absolutely make that call. Who's the coach? It's not Kent Hackett. Who is it?
No, it's their defensive coordinator.
Who nobody knows, but that doesn't mean he won't be good.
Jeff Albright.
Albright.
Or U-L-B-R-I-C-H.
Well, like I said, I've never seen...
Albrich, I think.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've never seen one player run a franchise to this degree. I hope that Rodgers can get the Devontae Adams deal done. What if Rodgers did do the deal and he offered like, yeah, we'll give you our next six first-round picks. Deal's done. Bring in Devontae. I think he should be making their trades. I also think he should be the coach. Has the NFL ever had a player coach like the NBA has? And hockey. Hockey's had those.
Right. Probably in 1923 it was the case, yeah.
Has baseball had player managers? Definitely.
Definitely, yes.
I think Babe Ruth might have been one at one point. I think Aaron Rodgers should be the player coach. He should be on the field playing with headphones on. Can you imagine that limits if headphones fit over his helmet?
He should have a headset, yes, over his helmet. Did you call out the defense, too? Every time he's on the sideline, he's not looking at film. He's calling out the defensive signals. He might as well go punt as well.
And then he should be like Superman. Then he should go and dress as the GM. Like, even at halftime, he should run up to the press box and put on a suit and tie and be the GM at halftime and then run back down on the field, put the headset over his helmet and play. And yes, absolutely call defenses.
If Jerry Jones could be the owner, president, CEO, and general manager, why can't Aaron Rodgers?
It's a tremendous idea. Jerry Dulac writes today that Russell Wilson's going to be the quarterback. Sooner or later, he's the guy. Man, if Justin Fields had showed out against the Cowboys, I have a hard time believing this was all a foregone conclusion the whole year that Russell Wilson was going to play sooner or later. I have a hard time believing that that was going to be the case. Now I don't, because on the big stage, it didn't go particularly well. But those are stories for the next hour. Yes. Believe it or not, the Steelers quarterback situation, as it comes to a head today, and we're going to have the Mike Tomlin news conference at noon, isn't even the biggest story. It's George Pickens again, with videos surfacing of him jogging on routes the other night, of him on the sidelines, having to be tended to, having to be babysat, of Mike Tomlin talking around the fact that he blatantly benched him. Of Max Starks ripping into Pickens. Not a team first guy is pretty much what he said. All of this under the umbrella of the Steelers chasing Devontae Adams, hoping to pair him with Pickens, I guess. But insiders like Diana Russini, Jason Lock and Forrest saying they could actually trade Pickens. And before we go to the phone lines, let's remind ourselves of the three or four great truths here. Can we do that, Limits?
Yes, we very well may.
I wouldn't think of not doing it. Truth number one, the Steelers identify talent, receiving talent in the draft, probably better than anyone. Truth number two, those guys often make an early impact. They usually do, in fact. Truth number three, and perhaps the most important one of all, things tend to go a little bit south with these guys. Claypool, Deontay, A.B., Martavis, and now Pickens. And most importantly, Once it starts to go south, sour, however you want to phrase it, once it starts to go bad, it just seems to keep going that way. If Tomlin salvages Pickens, that'll be the first successful salvaging job he's done with these guys. And it's happening at a time when you need to think about either paying George Pickens or cutting bait here. And that's the fourth truth. When Tomlin and Steeler management, of which he's very much included, decide it's time for one of these guys to go, they go. They go. In the primes of their careers, they go. Deontay, Claypool, Bryant, Big Chest. Where does that leave us with Pickens? You're on the lines, 412-928-9370. Let's go, Mr. Small Chest. Who do we have?
Let's begin with Dan in Upper St. Clair.
And for those of us who don't know, or those of you who don't know, Limits weighs how much?
145 pounds. Maybe 140. I haven't weighed myself in a while.
What do you want? Are you on a diet? If you lose any more weight, you're going to be a walking telephone pole. You're going to be a skeleton. What is happening? How tall are you?
Just pure muscle.
5'10". 5'10", 140. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. I just have a comment here. If George Pickens stays on this team, I don't see how Mike Tomlin can look anyone else in that locker room in the eye with any amount of seriousness, with the players they've shipped out for the reasons that they have. Like, I mean, it, by the end of next week, if there's not a hostage swap with Adams, then, like, I think you just got to
hostage swap is the best term I've heard yet. That is unbelievable. That's exactly what it would be. What a line by that guy. What was his name?
It was Dan in Upper St. Clair. He's a frequent caller.
Holy horse milk. That was incredible. It might be time for that. I mean, this is, I'm tired of this crap, honestly. I realize it's pro sports. You got to deal with this. And I realize that that's a position that breeds, you know, selfishness in a good way. I want the ball. Give me the ball. I want to help our team win. You know, Hines wanted the ball too. Hines would pipe up now and again through the media. I'm not getting the ball enough. Off the record, I had conversations with him. Look at the offense I'm playing in. Look at the quarterback before Ben got there. But always, 100% of the time, you were going to get his heart left on that field on every single snap. Same with Juju, by the way. Same with Juju. I mean, they turned Juju around here into you know, a third down possession guy. After he had a couple great years with AB, I know that's a whole different topic. There's a lot there. Bottom line is, I'm sure he didn't love his role here by the end, but he never, ever, ever let that affect his effort. Next.
Let's go to Dylan in West Virginia.
Dylan, what's up?
Good morning, Dr. Starkey. Wonderful show as always. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Where are you in West Virginia? And do you know Adam Crowley?
Adam Crowley, I do not know him, but I live in a small town called Winfield.
Winfield, West Virginia. Is it near Morgantown or further south?
Much more south, about 3 or so hours.
Holy horse follicles. I've been down to, when you make a left there and you keep going until the end, what part of West Virginia is that? There's a common name for it that I'm forgetting.
Beckley?
Beckley.
Huntington?
Beckley, West Virginia is exactly where I've been.
Okay. Well, it's about an hour north of there, northwest.
Well, congratulations on all your success. What's your take here?
Yes. So George is all about one thing and one thing only. George Minka, I believe it was last year in the locker room after one of the many humiliating losses, he basically said, "We have men here who don't want to work. They think that they can just run out there, make a play, blah, 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 blah."
Who said that? Who said that?
Minka.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yep.
Yes. And then, most recently, Freiermuth, I don't know if everyone has heard this or not, he basically said, "Look, I trust my coaches. I'm here to work. Just because I don't get a ton of reception doesn't necessarily mean anything. I have to work even when I'm not getting the ball. And I think, like, honestly, a lot of the players on the team are completely out on George. And honestly, I don't really blame them because he's all about George.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say this much, that if I were a teammate, I'd be sick of it, but I'd also want the production. You know, this is the conundrum. And this happens with, you know, quarterbacks too. I mean, I often cite Ben. Do you think that Ben's teammates were all in on him early in his career? With all the crap going on around him, he just wasn't a very likable guy. He wasn't. I think even he would admit that. But if you were his teammates, you were saying, this guy gives us a chance to win. You know, that's always the question. So, yeah, I saw the Freiermuth quote, which was basically, you know, it's easy to complain about your targets and all that stuff. And yes, I'm tempted to read everything, whether it's Minka or Freiermuth or whoever, as a veiled reference to George Pickens. And it does. It just gets tiresome. Just play football. Come on. Play. You got to run out your target. You got to run out every route, pretty much. There's a clip the other day someone put on Twitter. Now I forget who it was, from another team. Seattle on a Geno Smith scramble. I forget the receiver. But when it was clear that Smith was scrambling and was out of the pocket, it may have even been a design run, I don't know, this receiver kept sprinting and sprinting and sprinting 20, 30, 40, 50 yards down the field, and he took two potential tacklers with him. There's many, many reasons why you have to max out on virtually every route in the NFL. But again, don't take my word for it. Take Max Starks, who I respect as much as any player who ever walked through the Steeler locker room, as much as any player I have. He has every reason, basically working for the team, to not criticize players. Not only did he criticize George Pickens, he absolutely shredded him. Some guys need to grow up faster than they are. If you want to be a number one receiver, act like a one receiver, Starks said. Don't act like a three receiver. Don't shrink in the moment you want the ball. Should we end the show there? I mean, that's an ex-Steeler. We're basically working for the team saying that. Imagine if you got Max Starks in a bar over a beer, what he'd say, for God's sakes, limits.
He'd tell everything. And that, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we know that there's obviously more to this than what is public. Always is.
Don't sit there and pout about it, Stark said. Go block somebody. These are the things that take away from a team when you're not part of the team, when it's more me than we. That's Stark's talking. He needs to grow up and he needs to show me on the field.
You know, Joe, I call a lot of D3 college games around here. I get it's a different style of football. But one thing that a lot of coaches tell me is that effort is non-negotiable. And that's something that we just have not seen from George Pickens at times. The effort is not there.
This was a giant game. This was because the Steelers are who they are, right? They're going to be, you know, around 500. They're either going to sneak in to the playoffs or barely get eliminated. So every single game is critical. And this was a guy that Max Starks thinks basically quit on the team. Now, if Max Starks thinks it, and he's still young enough to be connected to guys on the team, do you not think that people inside the locker room think that? I mean, I don't think that's some crazy stretch of logic here.
Not at all.